Right. Okay. Thank you. Today, people in Malaysia, especially Christians, are trying to write the history of Christian work in Asia. Many of them have succeeded, and there is a big record now of Christian work and how it started in various parts in Malaysia and Asia. However, with regard to the history of our assemblies, there's very little. And especially the history of Penang, hardly anything. There's one perhaps with regard to the residential Bible school, but it contains a lot of errors because the one who wrote it is not familiar with the residential Bible school from its very beginning. So we see that in Bubble Hall itself, I'm wondering whether there's anyone keeping a record and history of the assembly, week by week, month by month, year by year, as we go on. History is important. And today, we are going to call upon some witnesses. I did not know that when I was asked to speak on the anniversary of Abamaro Hall on the 28th last month, that I will be speaking a series of studies on the history of Balmoral Hall. I began with the building, a celebration of the history of the 85th anniversary of Balmoral Hospital Hall and the 10th anniversary of this hall. And, well, we had a good picture taken on the 80th anniversary, and we find that on the 80th anniversary, those people who were 80 years old, there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 of them, have now increased to 15 of them in the 85th anniversary, 5 years later, and with 3 young elders standing in as well. Well, we have a change. More people have come to join in, but I think the increase in number is because they didn't stick to 85 years, but they included 80 years. So there are more now in the 85th anniversary. Right. Part one has to do with the buildings. I introduce you to the various buildings from Fakwa Street to Balmoral Hall to Balmoral Gospel Hall. And today I want to introduce you to the builders. Those who live in the past years, who built up Balmoral Hall to what it is today, many of you do not know them. So it is my duty to familiarize with you this cloud of witnesses who have been so faithful in serving the Lord in Balmoral Hall that today we have Balmoral Hall for what it is. Now, is this right to recall these names? Yes, Hebrews chapter 12 tells us so, that there are a cloud of witnesses. And a few have been singled out, as I am going to single out a few in the history of Balmoral Hall for us to be inspired in our witness for the Lord. We know, for a start, that there was at the beginning Mr. and Mrs. Bosom, who were recognized as the founders of the assembly work, but that's not true. And we are thankful that our brother Colin Tan did a research on it, and he confirmed that it was John Chapman of Bristol who came, sent by George Muller in 1860 to Penang, Fakwa Street, to start the work. So our work was started in 1860, and that research account was given by Mr. Colin Tan, and it is on my website for those who are interested. It's a very good research account. And because of that, the assembly at Balmoral Hall recognizes The founding date of the assembly work as 1860. The 31st January 1860 as printed on the plaque outside at the entrance of this assembly hall. Commencement of assembly work in Penang at Farquhar Street. 25th May, we moved over to Burma Road Gospel Hall, adjacent to this place here, and then 2013, we moved to this place. So this is our history. We should know it, every one of us, so that we will not be sidetracked by any other source. All right. Then, in 1875, we find that the Farquhar Street site was transferred to Mr. and Mrs. MacDonald, Bessie and his three children, and they came from UK in 1866. Then, Mr. and Mrs. Ashdown came. Now, I mention these two people because these two people had their photographs in my house. My father seemed to be familiar with them. I do not know them because I was not born yet. But I saw them. But I want to emphasize that before 1860, there were many other, before 1860, there were other missionaries who came to Penang. And after 1860, there were also other missionaries who came to Penang and stayed at Farquhar Street. Well, today we are going to deal with the builders. The last study was the buildings. I introduced to you the various buildings associated with Burma Gospel Hall. Today, I introduce to you the people. The people who set up the buildings to be what Burma Hall is today. Firstly, Farquhar Street. You see the number of people there. I'd like you to note two things about these people there. Number one, note please the men, how they were dressed. They were dressed with coat and tie. Coat and tie. And that was the influence of the colonial missionaries who came. They brought with them their Western culture. And as a result, the church followed. I still remember a time when one of the elders said, I would not allow any person to speak on this pulpit without a coat and tie. That was said over 50 years ago by an elder. Be careful, elders, what you say, because a sentence, a short sentence like that might mean nothing to you, but to one who was involved, it had remained with me all these years. More about that later on. And you find, therefore, that all the men would be in coat and ties. All the women, they would wear sarung kebaya. And all the children were all well-dressed. This was the Western culture that came with the Western missionaries to Penang at that time. And when they moved over to Burma Road Gospel Hall, you'll find that almost the same culture followed. The men, they still wore their ties. The women, they still wore sarung kebaya. And the children, well, not so well-dressed as in before. Today, we find it's all different. Why? I'll tell you why later on. All right? We find different. We find people coming to church with sport shirts also, and rubbers and sport shoes. Well, there's a change now. The culture of the West has been put aside. It's good in one way. That was what I was fighting for at that time. And I'm so happy to say that the change has come about. Right. The history I'm going to relate this morning is a history that will take you back to 1950. Why 1950? That was the time when I was baptized. I was saved on the 17th September and baptized on October 22nd, 1950. A month later only. Because I believe that when you are saved and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your baptism and your acknowledgement of the Lord should come very quickly and not wait for 1 month, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. When you are saved, you should be baptized immediately as in the New Testament. Right. Out of these seven people who you see standing there, only Ibiku and myself are alive. All the others have gone home to be with the Lord. Shows you how old I am now. All right. At about that time, there were my contemporaries too. I want to introduce them to you. There is Brother Eddie, Joseph's father, and this Kim Ling, Yap, Mr. Yap's niece. No, Kim Ling's wife's sister. Kim Ling's sister, sorry. Kim Ling's sister. The others, I've forgotten their names already. There's Lavinia, Eddie's cousin. And so we find that some of these people are still alive. I'm not sure. But you will know this very well. Out of these five people, only two, I'm sure, are alive. And that will be my wife, Mr. Tan Tong Leng, who is still here. This person, she has died. Dr. Ko has died. This is Tong Leng's brother. He also has died. Mr. Copeland and Mrs. Copeland, Mr. Copeland was the one who baptized them. All right, these were my contemporaries, and you know now how old Mr. Tong Leng is. But I was baptized earlier than he. Right. Let's start off talking about the builders with the shepherds in the oversight, the elders. Because the elders were the foundational builders of the assembly. What kind of people were they, and who were they? Firstly, there was a united oversight, where the Chinese assembly and the English assembly joined together in one oversight. The Chinese-speaking assembly consisted of Tay Pai Len. Now, we all know from the book Animal Farm that all people are equal, but there's always one more equal than the others. All elders are equal, but there's always one elder more equal than the elders. In every generation, it seems to be the same. And so we find that in that elder, Tay Pai Len was one who was more elder than the other elders. He was very strong. Now, I want to emphasize from the very beginning, all these people who served as elders, they never get paid 1 cent. They never have a salary, and they are not even gifted by the assembly. But they serve the Lord as enabled by the Lord. And that's because in profession, they were rich people in a way. Tay Pai Len owned the Tite Dental Supplies in Carnarvon Lane and the agent for Yashica Camera. Chia Siak Leng would be one of the directors for the Gamma Department. Yi Yit Sing was the one who was the architect for the Christian Convention Center. Wong Kim Bee was another elder, very kind, humble. He was in the street trading in Butterworth. Now, all these elders were in the Chinese Assembly. Then Yao Kim Hiong on the left, that would be a full-time worker, so-called. Yu Fuk Chiong, another full-time worker, and Mr. Kor Teck Chun and his wife. The full-time workers, so-called, Kam Yong and Yu Fuk Chiong, Esther and both of them have left home already, left for home. Now, I want to emphasize this. In the Chinese assembly, we have the full-time workers. Well, in the English assembly, we have none. I shall show you later on. Later on, when they came later, they were separate, English assembly and the Chinese assembly. They became independent assemblies. And these elders continued in the independent assemblies, and others came on. But I will not name them because they will be out of my history range. Right, English speaking. Ong Hak Chuan would be the oldest. He was the one who said, I will not allow anyone to speak without a tie and a coat. I remember that. And remember, he said just one sentence like this, but that sentence had stuck in my mind for over 50 years. Elders, be careful what you say, because every sentence that you say, sometimes if it concerns a person, it hurts a person, and it may remain for life. And that's what happened to me. I'll tell you another instance later on. He was a senior. I do not know much about him because he was so old at that time. Then Fred Phillips was an accountant serving in the Chartered Bank. Then we have some others. Louis Ingram. I would just give you a sentence concerning each character at one time. Ingram, how do I remember him? He and his wife would stay in Brandon Estate, and they would every Sunday come on in a trishaw, and they would prepare the bread and the cups. Faithfully, gentlemen hardly heard in the meeting, he hardly prayed, but he was a good pastor. He had a good pastoring heart, he and his wife. Then there would be Daniel Jevaraj. Daniel did not come from Penang. He came from Taipei. And then when he served as a medical officer in RAAF, Royal Australian Air Force in Butterworth, when he was transferred there, he bought a house in Island Glades, and he was invited to be an elder in Balmoral Gospel Hall. Today, he is still living at 93 years old. His wife had already died. Both of them are a loving couple. The sheep love them, and today there are many of the sheep who will still visit him in Taipei in spite of his old age. They love him very much. He later on became a commended worker of Sungai Nibong Gospel Hall. Then there is also Dr. Lim Siang Chai and his wife. Dr. Lim Siang Chai and his wife were from Malacca. Then they were transferred. He was a veterinary surgeon. Then he was promoted to Penang as a state veterinary surgeon. And then he bought a house here, and he was invited to be an elder. But later on, he became an elder in Island Glades, and then he went back to KL. He and his wife had already gone home to be with the Lord together with his son. And so there was Dr. Lim Siang Chai. And of course, there's Mr. Tan Tiong Leng. Well, he is the most faithful elder that I know of. Ever faithful from beginning to end. Doesn't speak much, but very, very faithful in his service to the Lord. And of course, he was with me when we went to serve the work in Butterworth, and he quickly got hold of my Bible class student and then married her. So I'm so happy they are married up to this very day, so fervently serving the Lord. That is Mr. and Mrs. Tan Tiong Leng. Then, of course, myself, never mind, you know me enough already. So there's Tan Wah Kim. Now, he is the most important man. But why do I leave him at the last minute? Because I want to spend the next many slides on him and him alone. Because he was one elder who was the elder of all elders. All right, Mr. Tan Wah Kim. What do we know about him? Now, I'm very sad. I'm not sure if I'm wrong whether we can still find a photograph of him and in our premises. Anyone knows? Is there a photograph of him? Now, sad, because he is a great pillar of Balmoral Gospel Hall, as you will see later on. All right? And nobody would know him. That's Mr. Tan Wah Kim and his wife, Dorothy Ang, when they were married. All right? Now, let's read more about him and find out more about him. He was a teacher in Western Second Primary School, and later on, he was transferred to Penang Free School as a teacher. All right? So, again, as we see, his faithfulness was so good. The moment he was transferred to Penang Free School, he got quarters to stay there. He opened up the quarters. He opened up his quarters, and he started, for the first time ever, a Balmoral Hall prayer group. Balmoral Hall prayer group at 27 Free School Road. Every time when free school students had a break, for 20 minutes, 15 minutes, the Christians at Bourbon Gospel Hall would go to his house, have prayer. They would read the daily light and then have prayer every school day. At that time, Dr. Lawrence Chan was leading, followed by our brother, Dr. Charlie Chan. When they left, I took over. Now, the Lord had provided for this place. It was known as the PFS prayer group. Later on, Mr. Joaquin retired. When he retired, was there a home to continue the witness? Yes. Mr. Tay Wee Kek was transferred to the Frisco compound, and he had got a quarters there. And right opposite 27 Frisco Road, we moved over, and by that time, the Balmoral Hall prayer group had become an interdenominational group because they became so famous that other Christians had come to join. And therefore, after that, no more known as PF Balmoral Hall prayer group, it became known as the Scripture Union group, and later on changed to ISCF, Inter-School Christian Fellowship. Now, to show the keenness and his faithfulness to the Lord, Mr. Tan Wah Kim, later on, after when he retired, he bought a home, 11 Fetish Park. And when he bought up a home, what did he do? Again, he opened up the house. He was one elder whom I really respected. He was down to the ground to witness for the Lord. He opened his house, and that house became the Fetish Park Sunday School. The Fetish Park Sunday School. Mr. Tung Leng, our sister Wee Kwat Pei, Lo Chun Choi, they were all superintendents of the Sunday School. The Balmoral Hall Sunday School remained in the afternoon. In the morning, he opened up his house to form the Fetish Park Sunday School. And so we have him ever so keen, opening up his home every time he had opportunity to fall witness unto the Lord. That's an elder. His pastoral career, oh yes, he was very fierce. He was a tiger with a shepherd's heart. I am not sure whether there's one brother here still. That brother could not stand Mr. Tan Wah Kim's face. Lao ho lai lo. He would always use those words, Lao ho lai lo. Because that Mr. Tan Wah Kim would always be very fierce, very strict. But you come to him personally, he would be a very mean sheep. He's had a real shepherd's heart. That was Tan Wah Kim. All right? That's you. He was the youngest elder in the oversight at that time because he was roped in unwillingly because there was no other to follow up when all the old elders had retired, Hart Chuan, Fred Phillips, Hart Chuan, Ingram, and so on. He was also the treasurer of the church. He was no accountant. He did not know anything about accountancy. But he was so careful in keeping account, so much so that the later people like Mr. Lo Chun Chu, Mr. Lo, Yang Cheng. When he took over and all others who took over, they were surprised at the way he kept the accounts. They could not find a single mistake. He was very meticulous. And mind you, he was never paid even 1 cent for all the hard work that he kept. And he kept so many accounts, as you would know as I go on to see what he did. He was another practical elder. He was not only elder in name, but he was an elder on the ground. He was a superintendent of the Sunday school to make sure that the Sunday school ran on well. His heart was with the children. But not only that, he took the Bible class. I was in the Bible class. Now, strangely, I was never a Sunday school teacher in the Bummer Hall Sunday school. But I was a student there. And he taught, I still remember, the Seven Feasts of Jehovah. Yes, he was one who was an elder, not only at the top, but he would come down to the very ground to be Sunday school superintendent, to be Sunday school teacher as well. Go on. Look at his pioneering spirit. He was the first one to introduce the Bible Camp. The Bible Camp started at Rulau in 1947. Right back when they all came together for a family outing for Bumrungrad Gospel Hall. Then they found out the camp was so good, they said, no, let us have another camp at the seaside. And so the August Bible Camp started. And the Rulau Bible Camp stopped, and the August Bible Camp started by the sea. And they invited all other assemblies in Malaya to come along as well to have this camp. And 1950, I was saved. 1951, I went to that first camp at Sunnyside, Set Fair, Aloha. There were bungalows of the post office, postal services. Then there was bungalow at the Silver Sand and Shamrock. Various, every year they had a camp in these places. Until such time that they found it difficult to rent a bungalow anymore, so there was the idea to start a new campsite for Bumrungrad Gospel Hall. And for all these August camps, there was the invitation always to all other assemblies. And that's how I came to know so many people in the other assemblies, because they came to Penang for Bible camps. And that was the original idea of Mr. Tan Wah Kim. Here's one at 1961. Please note, 1961, and that was the 14th Bible camp. 1947, the first camp in Rulau. But just as we had the various Bible camps and various people from other places coming in, there was no place for the campsites, so that's why they changed to, they envisaged a Christian Convention Center in 1963 that was built. And so, 1963 until now, we have this campsite ever ready for use for our annual Bible camps. Right. August church camps, not enough. The people in Bumrungrad Hall clamored for more camps. That camp, they said, too many, and then there were other people from other assemblies. We want our own camp. And so they started asking for their own camp, and Mr. Wah Kim started organizing December family camps. And to make a contrast, they had a December family camps up at Penang Hill. And home of Mr. Chia In Kiong and Lau Dok Sui's bungalows. We would stop at Viaduct Station in Penang Hill, and then from Viaduct we would walk 1 mile in, carrying all the camp bags, cooking utensils, and all other things, 1 mile in all the way, and then out to equip the place with the things that were needed for a camp. Oh, that was a time when we had to do all that. All right. South, apart from these two sisters, these two people's bungalows, we also had the government's Penang Hill bungalow, South View. All right. So this is an example of a Penang December camp. There were many people there. So this one would be localized only for Bumrungrad Gospel Hall. Right. There's another site. Another picture of it. Right. Now, they had a CCC. They also must have training. The whole idea of the convention center was to have it as a center for leadership training. Mr. Tan Wah Kim was very, very visionary. There must be future leaders be trained in assembly line on assembly principles. And therefore, he started the training camp at CCC. The CCC was used at various times for training camps. Training for whom? Training for the Sunday school teachers, training for preachers and youth leaders. Today, we have got Sunday school teachers who have just been asked, be a Sunday school teacher in our Sunday school, be a youth leader, be a speaker. I wonder how many of them ever have any professional training, any training, or just left to the Lord. Now, it's not that we would like to start a seminary or theological training, but some form of training so that the speakers would know what to do and how to be engaged in a ministry. Sunday school teachers would all train. How did they get all the training? Now, at that time, I was called by the Lord to join the Teachers Training College. And as a result of my time in the Teachers Training College, training teachers, I used this knowledge to train Sunday school teachers, to train speakers, to train preachers, so that they would know how to do, how to carry out a lesson well. And I would go and attend their practical sessions to give suggestions of how to improve and so on. So that was the time. And the people were ready to learn. They're ready to learn. They were not sensitive and say, oh, you are right, I don't want, since you talk so much, I don't want to serve anymore. They were ready to learn and to improve, and many of them have progressed. Today, I wonder how many of our speakers have gone through such training before. How many of our speakers have gone through such sessions before, so that they will know how to preach and how to teach well. Then, to really formalize this whole training, we had the residential Bible school. Mr. Tan Wah Kim was very serious about it. He said, we must train our people for our assemblies, for our future assemblies. And this version, this vision he had, for not only for Bomaro Hall, but for all of Malaysia. And so he started a residential Bible school where all would be invited from all assemblies in Malaysia, or in Malaya at that time, all of them to come for a two-month training for 200 ringgit, free board and lodging. And they would stay there for 2 months. They would have to do their practical training as well as their theological training. And that's where we had the best Bible assembly teachers. All over the world, we invited them out. We invited them from Singapore, we invited them from England, we invited them from Australia, we invited them from these other places, and they came to become the lecturers in the residential Bible school. And this is what was missed out in the report, in the directory by a brother who wrote about residential Bible school, because he knew nothing about all this. This was the original Bible school. 2 months, solid Bible study, and at weekends, they will come out to the assemblies at Island Gate, Bermuda Hall, Butterworth, and so on, to preach and to teach in the Sunday school and to hold sessions at the youth group for their practical training. After 5 years, they stopped because we found that we had trained more than enough leaders already, because only leaders were invited and they could only come at the proposal of the oversight. It's not open to anybody. So when, on the fifth year, I found a sister who came and who did not, I was teaching the tabernacle, and I was asking her, do you know anything about the tabernacle? No, not even heard of it. I said, it's time already. That means we have no more mature leaders. So on the fifth year of residential Bible school, we stopped. And for that time onwards, there was no more residential Bible school. The residential Bible school that you hear about today has nothing to do with our residential Bible school. Nothing at all. I have often heard people saying to me, Mr. Ang, you know, my daughter attended the Sunday residential Bible school. You know how good it is. They are wrong. It's a different format. It has a different purpose and mission. All right? So their mission is good, but it's different from what we sought to do, to train people up for the assemblies. And many of these people that you saw just now on the photograph, later on, as you see the photograph, many of these people have become elders of many assemblies today. So the rest of the Bible school is for future leaders, elders, training them to be elders, for future preachers, teachers, and workers, for to ground mature Christians. Well, this is a typical residential Bible school photo, and taken, I think, 1973, and therefore that's the second year, 74, 75, 76, we ended. Why? Because Bomaro Hall had no more money. Every residential Bible school, we had to spend about 10,000 ringgit. The assemblies promised to contribute, but hardly any. So in the end, we had to give up because we had to invite lecturers from England, from Scotland, from Australia, from America to come. We wanted the best Bible assembly Bible teachers. And that's why, in the end, we had to stop. All right. Next one. Because our Resident Bible School was doing a good work, other assemblies came to know about it, and they too wanted to organize leadership training courses. And you find that Elim Gospel Hall, Taiping Gospel Hall, they also started organizing leadership Bible training courses. And, well, Mr. Tan Tong Leng and myself, we also went. And just to show you how we went, at that time we had no money to buy cars, we went on motorbikes. Now, some of you may be wondering what kind of motorcycles we were riding on. Well, I was riding on a Veloset with a hand starter. There are only three people who use Velosets: Mr. Tan Wah Kim, Mr. Kwa Sin Chai, and myself, as far as I know in Penang. The other motorbike that you see Mr. Tan Tering holding on to is another unique motorbike. It is branded NSU. It has a very small engine, 125cc, but it has the power of a 250cc motorbike. And so, Mr. Tan and myself, we would ride the two bikes. I myself later on possessed the NSU also. And we would ride the two bikes to Ipoh, Elim Gospel Hall, to have our leadership training and so on. Those were very enjoyable times. The two of us, two young men going around in motorbikes and so on. And just by information, my wife also joining the NSU gang. She rode an NSU scooter, not a motorbike, but a scooter. And so we find that that today you do not have NSU anymore. Many of you may be wondering what this NSU bike is all about. Well, it has taken over or been copied by Honda. Honda bike is almost the same as the NSU bike. Well, that's Mr. Tan. Don't put him aside. A young man, he was very, very active for the Lord. All right. So these were the camps that we would attend on our motorbikes, various places, Ipoh, Taiping, and so on. That's one camp. And these were some of the leaders that were there. That this is a camp in Cameron Highlands. And some of you might recognize them. They were the future leaders of the assembly. And these were the teachers. Mr. W.G. Stott from Taiping. Mr. W. Wilson from Penang. Mr. A. Phillips, one of the best teachers that I've come across. He was the one who led me to the Lord. Mr. Regular from Seremban, very good Sunday school teacher, very good in phonograph teaching. Mr. McVay, he could speak Cantonese very well from Hong Kong. Mr. S.S. Adams, he could speak very well Hokkien. And Mr. Tom Bentley, again, one of the best teachers that I ever come across. So we have got excellent Bible teachers to teach us, and that's how we grew up in our young days. Bumrah Hall was not sparing in spending money to get these people out so that the local people can be taught the best in Bible teaching and Bible administration. Right, so Mr. Wah Kim was only interested in raising up potential Bible leaders, but he was also interested in making sure that every member in the assembly was well taught in the assembly. Everyone must use the Scripture Union daily bread or daily notes. He encouraged everyone to read the Bible every day using the Scripture notes. And he encouraged them to use assembly magazines, like the Assembly Testimony, the Christian Herald, and so on. Today, many of these Christian Assembly magazines that you see at the back were actually introduced by him then. Then there was a drop after he had died, then I introduced back these magazines. These are Assembly magazines, but sad to say, how many of you are reading these magazines so that you are well established in Christian principles and Assembly truths? How many, I wonder? Please read them because they are good for you. Look at his visionary projects. Tremendous. He was just interested in spreading the word. He was not interested just in keeping the Assembly in Balmoral Hall well grounded and enlarged, but he was interested in spreading. And note, please, he built. He was a building developer. He built all this, and personally, he was there when the Balmoral Sunday School announced that is the Aloha building down where it was before. Personally, he would be there to see to the construction. But to a Gospel Hall, practically every 2 days, he would go on his veloset to Butterworth to see and to attend to the construction of Butterworth Gospel Hall, to state that it was properly built and there was no cheating. The BRGH Mission House, when this building was built, before it was torn down, the BRGH Mission House, he also supervised it. Then the Christian Convention Center, he himself would dig the ground to plant the grass. Do you know that the CCC, the tables and so on, he attended a carpentry class as a school teacher and he made the tables himself. He was a practical man. He tried to save money. He made the tables himself, and many of the things he himself personally attended to it. He was a very, very practical man in order to save the Assembly money. Then look at the Christian Convention Center, the Island-based Gospel Center. That was all right because he bought over 2 semi-detached houses to turn them into an Assembly hall. Butterworth Mission House, and then Sungai Nibong Home and Center. That was before the name was changed to Sungai Nibong Gospel Hall. Now, finally, it's time for his home call. His home call was led by his wife's home call. His wife suddenly had a hemorrhage in the head and died 1 p.m. And she died, it caught everyone by surprise. So he and she were a very loving couple. Without her, he would not be able to live. Without him, she would not be able to live. They were so loving and so dependent. And they had no children except one, adopted one, who was not that faithful to them. And so when earlier he had cancer of the nose, he had the will to fight it, and he came through. But later on, after his wife died, he had no heart. Within 6 months, within 2 months, he went to join his wife. He had no heart to fight anymore. He was ever so loving. And this was the couple, Mr. and Mrs. Tan Wah Kim. If I don't bring it up, many of you would not know about him. That's why I'm very sad in a way. Here was one pillar, one elder, a foundation elder of Balmoral Gospel Hall. But many of you, I think, have grown up without knowing him at all. So I hope that with this, you'll at least have an idea of how the Assembly is what it is today because of people like him. There you find these 2 gravestones in the Western Road Cemetery, one behind the other. Now we come to the foreign missionaries. Who were the foreign missionaries at the time? Let me hurry. Mr. and Mrs. Adams, he was the oldest. He came from Perth, Australia, and then he went home to Australia in 1983. Because I want you to remember these two, that missionaries, they came from their home country, and they were supposedly to be supported by the home country. But when they came to work among us, they were left alone. And when they go back, like for example, Mr. A. Phillips, when he went back to England after retiring from here, he and his wife were living in a caravan. They had no place to go to. Many of these missionaries, they left the home assembly when young. And when they went back later on in their later life, they find that many people did not know them, and they were left alone. And many of these people were very poor. That's Mr. A. Phillips. I admire him because he was the one who brought me to the Lord in 1950. He ran away from the communists who entered China in 1949. He was in China before, and then he came to Malaya, and he was in Penang. Then the next one is Mr. Wilson. Mr. Wilson was a bombastic preacher. He used words that young people could not understand. His words are sting-legged, long, long words, very full of alliteration, but very difficult to understand him because his English was so good. And he was always spick and span, coat and tie, at least with a tie. And here, when I was in the oversight, I had a fight with him because I did not want to put on the tie. And again, I got into trouble, but I won the case. Later on, all of you today do not have to wear ties because of what I fought with. So, honestly, otherwise, you'll be demanded to put on ties. I said, ties, plastic shirt, or push jacket. We can be like Dr. Mahathir, but definitely not like the people in England. Yes. Why are two women there? One was Ida, the first on the left. She was his first wife, died. She died, and then she married a second one. Today, the second one is in a home, bedridden. Mr. Wilson had already passed away. Then there were missionaries that passed through very quickly through Penang. They didn't stay in Penang. Mr. Vines, he went to Thailand after staying in Penang for a short time. Then Mr. Arnold Clark, oh, he was a good man. He was so simple. He would cycle from Fakwa Street to Balmoral Hall to join the young people in their games. He would have only one tie, a green tie. Every Sunday, he would only wear a green tie. He had no other tie. Very, very simple man. And in Phuket, he was shot at by the bandits. And he became, I'm not sure whether he died because of it, but he died not long later. Then there is Dr. and Mrs. Nichols. I told you about them. They came to Penang, and then from there they left. Dr. Nichols was the first missionary who was married in Penang at Balmoral Hall. And by the way, their daughter and granddaughter came here just 1-2 months ago on their way to Kuala Lumpur. Then there's Mrs. Blake. Mrs. Blake is a fantastic person. Her husband came to Butterworth and worked in Butterworth. And then she, after her husband had died, she came back to Penang, to Butterworth. She stayed in Fakwa Street for some time. She traveled in a small, old ramshackle car like this. Could not walk well. She had something wrong with her leg, and she was limping. And you know what she would do? Every school day, she would go and visit a school. And in the car, she would sit down there while the driver was waiting. And as the girls came out from the school, she would hand out tracts. That was Mrs. Blake. Very evangelical and loving for the schoolgirls. I've seen her at Methodist Girls' School. I've seen her in Georgia's Girls' School. She would be there by the side of the entrance and giving out tracts every day, every school day when the school was over. Then, of course, Mr. Peter Ferry. Peter buried his wife in Taiping, Peggy, and then he passed away recently. All right. Beyond local workers, BRGH had none. Up to that time, no workers at all. The Chinese, Yong Kam Yong, Yu Fu Chong, and his wife Esther. But they were known as full-time workers. I didn't object to the time full-time workers because there's no such term in the Bible. Everyone is a full-time worker in the church. No one is called to our commandant to serve in the local church. When you are commanded, you are commanded to go out of the church, never in. Paul and Barnabas were commanded outside the church, never to serve in the church. To serve in the church, I think, is not right. And so, Yu Fu Chong, he was not very well supported. After working, serving the assembly for 20 years, he and his wife gave up and they opened up their own different ministry because they were not well supported. And they had an open ministry, a wedding ministry in Ipoh. There's Yong Kam Yong, Yu Fu Chong. Then, in Bumbro Hall, we have two commanded workers. They were commanded outside, not full-time to serve in the Bumbro Hall, in the assembly. They were commanded to serve, as myself, outside Bumbro Hall, and May Lai to Indonesia. All right. Now, I finish with the families. There were a few families in Bumbro Hall at that time which stood out. And among them, we had Mrs. Ang Ban Ho. Mrs. Ang Ban Ho was very, very special. She would, let's imagine this place to be at Bumbro Hall. She would sit at the place where I sit, the third or fourth row, where Mr. Tan is. And every time a brother would stand up to pray, she would kneel down on her knees, her elbows on the seat, and she would pray. Every time a person stood up, she would say. And you speak to her, she would be so happy to see you, always with a smiling face, and she would hand you a tract. When she died, now there's Mrs. Ang. Mrs. Ang Ban Ho. When she died, various tributes were given to her. And there was one tribute specially written to her and for her. I invite Mr. Boo Sung Yu to read out that. Please, Mr. Wu. It's a tribute to her when she died.
Who's more mature, they could hardly be. That's our mommy. Loved ones called her mommy. Close ones called her granny. But whatever it might be, she's still our mommy. In prayer, she would bend her knees, whether there were people looking at her or not. She felt that was the only approach she could meet her Lord. That's our mommy. In church, she would take her seat, always at the front, her Lord to meet. She would not miss a meeting. She would be there at every gathering, and she would join in the singing, sometimes even taking over the leading. As the joy of the Lord filled her, nothing could restrain her. Her sweet strains would rise for all to hear, praising her Lord loud and clear. That's our mommy. In life, her greatest joy was to be engaged in her master's employ. She would never fail to pass a tract to those who came into her contact. Her radiant face, her humble grace, a word in season, a word out of season. To her, there was every reason why everyone must be a Christian. That's our mommy. At home, she was no different. Her life was always consistent. She would kneel to pray regularly. She would sing at the piano so sweetly. She would speak to her sons and daughters of God's goodness in all matters. Oh, that's our mommy. Ever so loving, ever so sporting, her child would tease her, her children would jest with her. Never an angry word would she speak as they, her radiant smile, would fondly seek. In the evening, like clockwork, she would be at the swing to enjoy God's handiwork. She had seen God's beautiful sunset. She had enjoyed God where she sat. When rain kept her from the swing, she could still thank God for every blessing. Such was our mommy. In the later years, when human frailty, a vanity of vanities, crept up on her as it did with her peers, when human memory failed her, when she forgot most things, she could still be thankful for every blessing. All those precious words from her lips when she said, "God bless you," or ever sincerely, thank you, to every good and kindly deed, to every hand that her feet, that's our mommy. She would not like to be a burden to any of her children, though they would willingly of their all be given just to be her children. Even at a time when she could hardly walk, and precious little could be made of her talk, in spirit and life she showed she was grateful, first to God, to whom she remained faithful, then to those who took care of her, to whom she was ever thankful. Then on October the 17th, without any warning, at the ripe old age of 89, far beyond that prescribed of mankind, many years more than the 70, she left us. It was a shock. It was a jolt. At first, we could not take it in. Just a few minutes ago, she was eating. Just a few moments ago, she was drinking. After we had turned her in her bed, we went to the kitchen. By the time we got back, we found we would no more, she would no more come back. Oh, mommy, oh, mommy.
That's our mommy. That's my mommy. Please observe the screen. Thank you. The Lord bless. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the cloud of witnesses that have built up Bamboro Hall to what it is today. And we do commit to you, all the leaders in Bamboro Hall this day, that they will be faithful and they will be inspired to be what they ought to be as thine people, as thine leaders of this church. So we commit ourselves to thee thus in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.